Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 to 7. We're not going to spend any time here in this chapter this afternoon other than to read it and be a launching point for what we're going to do elsewhere in the Scriptures. We're looking at this today as shepherding is a good old work. Verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and saw that this work of shepherding is a good work. And this afternoon I want to take us through the Bible where the Bible teaches us it's not only a good work, it's a good work that's been around for a long, long time. And so it is a good old work, and there's some importance to that. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, this is the word of the Lord. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a good work, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you once again for your word, how it instructs us how we are to conduct ourselves in your house. We thank you, Father, that you are a great shepherd, as we read in Ezekiel 34. Continue to show your care as you have always shown care for your flock. We pray, Father, that as you instruct us this afternoon, we as the church and we as elders would see our duties towards you and towards one another through your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we discuss the work of the ministry of shepherding or elders, and we use those terms interchangeably as I talked about last week, we often start in the New Testament. And we'll often go to passages like 1 Timothy, Titus, 1 Peter, and Acts chapter 20 to find our instructions and our examples there. And these are right places to go. But how did Paul and Peter come up with these ideas? How did they get here in the first place? Was it something new to Israel since Jesus came? Was it something new to the church since Jesus died and was resurrected? And appointed elders in every church as they went around ministering and sharing the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 15, we see that the apostles and others went back to Jerusalem from where they came. And when they got there, they met with who? Other apostles and elders who were already there. The work of shepherding, the work of overseeing, the work of being an elder is not something new, even going back to the time of Jesus. The work of shepherding, as we read in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel there, even in that time, was not the first occurrence of God using elders to shepherd his people. The reason that these apostles could go back to Jerusalem with elders and meet with other apostles and elders is because the practice has already been well established in the life of the people. In fact, it was in Old Testament times that we see the work of elder and shepherd being established really as soon as God started organizing his people to be a people for himself. And shepherding shepherding God's people is like many things in the Old Testament. They had their birth in the Old Testament, and they were developed and matured and then brought into the new as well. It's some of this continuity that we see from the Old and New Testament. Like animal sacrifices were appropriate for that age of the church, but they are pointing to that one sacrifice in Jesus Christ. many high priests in the Old Testament giving way to one high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Passover lamb pointing and giving way to the Lamb of God, the Lamb that God provided in Jesus Christ. And all the shepherds of Israel pointing and giving way to that one shepherd that we read about in Ezekiel 34, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was this work of the shepherd established in the Old Testament, we also see established qualifications, which we're going to read about here in just a minute. The qualifications that Peter came up with, the qualifications that Paul came up with, that we see in the New Testament, these weren't new. And these weren't things that Paul and Peter came up with and said when they sent out others to establish elders in every city in the churches. They didn't say, oh, we need to come up with who can be an elder. These things were already being called for by God in times past. And so those are some of the things we're going to look at as well. But I want us to go back to the foundation of the ministry of shepherding and how God began caring for His people as His sheep, just as He does now. And we're going to look at several different passages that are going to help us to walk our way through to get us to the point where we are today. And so first I want us to look at the beginning of this good old work of shepherding. It is an old work. It's a good work. And it had a time when it began. Secondly, maturing of the good old work. How it developed and became what it is today. And then lastly, the qualifications of this good old work of who should be doing this work of shepherding. So it's the beginning, the maturing, and the qualifications of the good old work of shepherding. So let's first then look at this good old, the beginning of the good old work. And we're going back to the beginning, not because it's something to be looked at and cherished or admired like an antique or a museum piece. Because here we see God's heart on the matter. To see what was happening, these kind of things, where it started and why. When God first began dealing with Abraham as the beginning of His people, His corporate people, He began to deal with them as families. And that is where we get the term patriarch, as the fathers or the heads of the families. Abraham was the head of his family. Even in the New Testament, we are told that we are children of our father Abraham. Isaac would then become the head of his family, then Jacob, and so on. And then we get to the 12 tribes of Israel, whom we know by the names of the sons of Jacob. And these heads of the tribes of Israel, these family leaders, were the patriarchal heads, and they led and ruled and shepherded their people. But as God's people grew, and they grew, and they grew, and became a corporate body in dealing with one another, family to family, and tribe to tribe, God began to organize and call out other shepherds amongst the families to help and come rule over them. It's not until we get to the book of Exodus that we begin to see the role of the elder shepherd. And we're going to see here that even though it's called out in Exodus, it was already ongoing. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Exodus chapter 3, where we'll look at verses 16 to 18. Or you can just listen to me as I read it. Exodus chapter 3 is that point where Moses is with God, and God is sending him down to his people and down to Egypt. And Moses says, "Who shall I say is sending me?" And God says, "You shall say, I am has sent you." And as God instructs him to go to deliver this message to the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, and to release his people from bondage to Egypt, here we see the call of the elder taking shape. Verse 16, "Go and gather and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, And now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Here in verses 16 to 18, we see that God is sending Moses into Pharaoh's courts. But he's not sending him alone. And he's not just sending him with Aaron. He is sending them, those two men, with the elders of Israel. And so we see that the elders are already functioned. They already existed like the heads of families in each tribe. And a little side note here, men, is that we, as heads of our families, are to be shepherding our families. We are not to just leave the shepherding and care of our families to the elders in the church. We still have a role, and a primary role, in shepherding our own families. The God with Moses. And we might say, why did he do that? Well, by this time, there are hundreds of thousands of Israelites. And what God wants is for those elders to be there as the representatives of those people to Pharaoh with this message from God through Aaron and Moses, but then also to be able to go back and tell their people, tell their tribes, tell their families, this is what the Lord is doing. This is what we saw the Lord do. This is the message that he is sending to Pharaoh. And the message is, we are going to be free. We're going to be freed from this bondage that we have been in for hundreds of years. And so while Moses was a leader of men, he was not the only one. He had multiple elders to back him up, to communicate these things that the Lord was doing to the other people. In Exodus chapter 4, verses 27 to 29, we see the Lord telling Aaron to go meet Moses, to go to Pharaoh. And then they actually did what God had said in Exodus 3, gathered up all the elders of Israel to go with them. We often think that God just sent Moses and Aaron into Pharaoh's courts. But he also took with him elders so that they could also communicate and minister to the people about the great work that the Lord was doing. And just imagine this. The people that are alive at this time, the Israelites and the Egyptians, they know nothing except what they're living in right then. The Israelites know nothing but slavery. They don't know freedom. There was nobody living in the Israelite nation at that time that would have known a day when they were free. The generations that were there, who were born and born and born, would have only known slavery. And so in a time of great transition, they would need these shepherd elders to confirm what the Lord was doing, because it's a great risk. They're about to rebel. They're about to break free from a mighty and powerful nation. And they would need these elders and these shepherds to have witnessed and represented or seen what God had done. And so those elders were there with Moses and Aaron. The people would need encouragement and teaching and leadership and guidance in how to carry out this exodus that the Lord was providing to them. They are about to do something they had never done before. And so the Lord raises up men to help them with that and to see what God's working was doing. And they would need to know this because they would see these 10 plagues. They would see the people that they're working for all these years, the people that they have been in relations with, the Egyptians, in one form or another, were going to be suffering mightily because they were going to be freed from bondage. Again, another time in Exodus chapter 17, in verses 1 to 7, you may recall when the Lord made water come out of the rock, he told Moses to gather the elders so they could see the work of the Lord, and again, report it to their people how the Lord had miraculously provided for them. At this time, there were over 600,000 people in the nation of Israel. They weren't all going to be able to see God make water come out of a rock. But God wanted them to know about it. And so he called the elders together with Moses before he did it, that they would see this great work that God was doing. And then they could go back to their people and teach them what God had done, how God had provided for them, and what it meant. Now, this is similar to what situation we are in. We have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ. We did not see Jesus crucified. We did not see Him live. We did not see Him rise again from the dead. But we have shepherds who wrote it down. We have apostles. We have those who were with Jesus writing it down. And much like those elders who represented their tribes and their families in Moses' day and reported back to them, we have this same occurrence in the days of the apostles. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, not even everybody in Jesus' day saw Him resurrected. Thousands of people came to know Christ through the testimony of shepherds. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 4, John says, "That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." One of the roles of the elders in the Old Testament time, just like the apostles in the New Testament times, was to communicate what they saw, what they heard, and what it meant for God's people, the great things that God was doing for His sheep. These are some of the earliest days of the elder in their life and their role. We could say they might have done much, but we don't see all that they were doing. But they were caring for God's people, coming out of this time of slavery, introducing them to these new freedoms. And we all know what that's like. Think of a young person when they're growing up in the house, and then one day comes and they get married, they leave the home, whatever that situation may be, and all of a sudden, they're in a situation that they've never experienced before. And so Israel is going to be in that kind of situation, and God provided for them elders to help comfort, to share, and to teach, and to rule over them. And we'll see this being developed throughout the life of Israel, all the way up until the time of the New Testament. And so that's the foundation. That's where elders started. Heads of families, then heads of tribes, and as the nation grew, then this corporate work that God would be calling them together, to work together, to communicate the truth to their people. Second, of the good old work of shepherding. And for that, I want us to turn to Numbers chapter 11. This is a very important passage when we think about the development or the maturing of this ministry of shepherding, because it comes at a very difficult time. It's not a happy time. It's not a time where the people are in good shape. It kind of speaks to us about what the role of an elder is. That his job is not just when things are going well. His job also includes times of trouble. And so in Numbers chapter 11, it was a time when the people were displeased with the Lord because they didn't have meat. And they said in 11:5, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." And so they were complaining to the Lord through Moses, and all these people complaining to Moses, and it was wearying Moses. And so in verse 11, or 10 rather, it says, "Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, 'Why have you afflicted your servant?'" He's talking about himself. "And why that you have laid the burden of all carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I going to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to bear these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Well, that's the situation that Moses finds himself in, being overburdened and overwhelmed by the complaining of the people. But the Lord does not. But he does give him something to help. He does give him a solution to his problem. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 tells us he gives him 70 to bear his burden. Look at Numbers 11, verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. And so the Lord does, again here, show us how he's going to use these men who are shepherds, these men who are elders. But it's not in a good time of their life. All this complaining, all this weeping, all this blaming of Moses and blaming the Lord, these elders are going to have to deal with. And God is going to discipline the people who have done this. They ask for meat. God says, I'll give them more meat than they could handle. Verse 33 of Numbers 11 says, but while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. If Moses thought there was going to be complaining before when they didn't have meat, now the situation would even begin to be more increasingly a difficult time, because now the people were under discipline of the Lord. His anger was aroused against them. But they were there. These 70 elders were there to help bear the burden. And one of the things that, we don't know all that they did, but one of the things that they did was that they prophesied. Verse 25 says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. And so the Lord equipped these particular 70 elders to prophesy, to teach the people, to speak on the Lord's behalf during this time of discipline. We also have in Exodus chapter 18, verses 17 to 26, when Moses was judging the people all by himself, hearing them from morning till night, until his father-in-law Jethro came and said, what you're doing is not good. And he counseled Moses to set up lower and higher courts with other men to help him rule among the people. Now this is something that the church does today as well. With our local session, our elders and our presbytery, and then our larger group of elders with the meeting of elders and what we call synod. Jethro called Moses to select from all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. These are some of the things that we see in 1 Timothy. Now these men may not have been the first organization of shepherd elders, but they do have similar characteristics and they do have similar responsibilities to rule within God's flock, to rule about discrepancies and different things the people might be dealing with. Not only is this an organizational pattern for the church, but it's also how our civil courts are organized. There are lower courts with authorities over them, then higher courts and also higher courts. And this is one of the ways that the eldership was being developed to be used in the shepherding of God's people. Thirdly, we can see the qualifications as we look back in the Old Testament for doing the good old shepherd work. Jethro, as I mentioned, gave four qualifications that Moses should be looking for. He said they should be able men. And this word able means strong, strong of character. It's like they should be men fit for army, fit for work. They should be men who fear God, which is equivalent to men who have faith in God. And that's what the office of elder is even today. And that's why it's a travesty when somebody can be placed into the office of shepherd or elder. Maybe because he's a good businessman. Maybe because he has a business. Or maybe because he has other traits in the world that would seem to qualify him. And yet he is not a believer. He should not be in the shepherding ministry. We'll see this in 1 Timothy as well. Men who fear God, men of faith, men of truth. As Jethro is speaking to Moses, talking about men of truth, why would they need to be men of truth? In that same passage, Jethro told Moses that you should teach them the statutes and the laws of God so that they would know how to rule amongst the people. They had to be truthful men. Not just know the truth, but be truthful men. And fourthly, Jethro said they would be men who hate covetousness. We saw that in our reading of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Why would men who are going to rule amongst people with disputes being settled, why would a man need to hate covetousness? Not just be not coveting, but to hate it. That's a higher level. Why this particular sin? Because he is going to be ruling between maybe two disagreeing parties, and he needs to be somebody who can't be bought off. Somebody who's not prone to bribery. Somebody who's not looking at this position of the eldership as something to be a way to gain financial wealth. Peter talks about that. They didn't just come up with these things. They were instructed by the scriptures of the Old Testament. As we go through 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to see some of these same character qualities being listed by Paul and Peter. But there are even more qualities listed in the Old Testament. For some more of these, we need to look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, where Moses is going to be rehearsing what we just read about in Numbers chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 9, Moses says, "And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I alone am not able to bear you." Remember that? Moses went to the Lord and said, "I can't bear all these people. Can't bear all their complaining." He said, "And the Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude." The nation is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Verse 11, "May the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more than you are and bless you as he promised you. How can I alone bear your problems and your burdens and your complaints?" So Moses is rehearsing this conversation that he had with the Lord, that he had with the people, and he says to them, verse 13, hear those qualifications. "Choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you." So as he's rehearsing this, we're finding out that when the Lord guys, it wasn't Moses who chose them. This is not a new episode. This is that same episode. It wasn't Moses who chose them. He went to them under God's authority and said, "You all know who your elders are, and you know who of those elders who are wise, understanding, and knowledgeable." So they chose them, much like we choose our elders today. But they chose men with the qualifications that are listed here according to God's word: wise, understanding, and knowledgeable. They knew their heads of tribes. Moses didn't know all the heads of the tribes, but the people did. It wasn't just those who were married and had children. They knew they had some who were heads of families, maybe that didn't have this wisdom and understanding and knowledge. They were to choose men of this category, heads of tribes, heads of families, who had this wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, who had manifested it in their life. And so it is today. Again, these things we're going to find in some form or fashion in the description of the qualifications that we'll read about in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus and also in 1 Peter 5. But these are really important primary qualifications for someone who is going to shepherd God's people. Wisdom. Wisdom is that gift or ability to be able to apply God's word not only to the sheep's life, but also to his own life. Understanding. Understanding is necessary to be able to discern the situation that you're dealing with. What is really going on here? What is really happening to these people? How do I minister to them? And then knowledge is actually knowing the law of God or the word of God so that you know what to apply, not just how to do it. And these are three primary qualifications that a shepherd elder needed to have back then and needs to have it today to effectively shepherd the sheep of God. Now, obviously, in these elders, like there was back then, and like there will be today, there will be degrees and strengths and weaknesses in each of these qualifications that Moses lists here. And each of the men who do fulfill the office of elder, they are weak. They are men. They are jars of clay, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians. It is only through the power of the Spirit, like God gave to those elders, that he gives to a man today, that he can effectively shepherd the church of God. Only through the power of his Spirit. But even though they are sinners and even though they are weak, they are still, by God's Spirit, able to rule and shepherd well. That's what Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders be given double honor, who rule well, especially those who preach and teach. And so he's telling us there is this power, this ability given to men to rule well, even in the midst of their weaknesses to some degree in these qualities. This also points us to the fact of what we read in Ezekiel 34, that while there are many shepherds in the church, and there were many back then, God had promised the one great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, who is with full understanding and knowledge of all things. And that's why it's so important that shepherds today don't rule according to however they want, like the shepherds in Israel did in Ezekiel 34. But they rule and they shepherd and they care in the same pattern as the Lord Jesus Christ did. We are the under-shepherds of him, and we are to be following his work. And his work was prophesied about a long time ago, that God would accomplish this through him. And so the Word of God points us in the Old and the New Testament to what the shepherd is to do and to be. This work is not new, and it doesn't need to be new because people are not new. I dare to say that some of the same issues that we have in the church today, we could find in the Old Testament church. And so the same gifts, the same skills, the same understanding is needed for shepherds today as it was back in the Old Testament. The work is not new, the people's needs are not new, and he who fills us with his Spirit is the Ancient of Days. He's been around forever. He knows his people, he knows what they need from their shepherds, and he gives that to them in the power of his Spirit so that shepherds can rule well. They can do this job well. And they can do it well as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ to tend and to feed the flock of God for the glory of God. And that's one of the things that a good shepherd will remember. It's not his flock. It's the Lord's flock, of which he has been made a steward and is accountable for it, just as the Lord kept those shepherds accountable for it in Ezekiel chapter 34. And so I hope you can see here that this office of shepherding is not new, the qualifications are not new, and the responsibilities are not new. And nor is your responsibility to the shepherds new. It is something that has always been in place in the relationship between sheep and shepherd. And so may God help us to have a good relationship for this good work that's been around for a long time. And God has been enabling his shepherds to do this work through the power of his Spirit. And that is something that we as a church should be praying for, that you should be praying for, Noah and I should be praying for, that we would do this work of shepherding following the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Spirit. Not according to our own strengths, but according to his strength, that we may rule well. May God help us to do that. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for this account of your love for the church and how, Lord, you have always had shepherds caring for them, and how it is still today through the Lord Jesus Christ that you are doing this work. How we do pray, Lord, that you would help your people, your elders, to do it well, to do it well to bring glory to you in following the Lord Jesus Christ. We do ask these